Good morning, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, more than a third of American adults are already not getting enough rest. And not only will the extra hour this weekend not really help, it could actually be counterproductive. We'll talk about overcoming the sleep issues that often come with a twice-yearly time change. Also this morning, the Hancock County Veterans Service Office is hosting their Fall Empowerment Fair this weekend, ahead of the community-wide Operation Greenlight campaign next week. The Trojans travel to Lakewood St. Ed to kick off the high school football's second season. We'll get a preview and another collection of yummy seasonal recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, November 1st, 2024. So we're past Halloween. We're done with Halloween now? Finally, let me clarify. It's not that I have anything against Halloween. I love the parade. It's a lot of fun. But we have the parade, and then we have trick-or-treat. And then we have all of the Halloween parties this past weekend. And then Halloween itself was yesterday. And so it's just we keep going over and over and over again. It's like a little time warp with Halloween. It just keeps going over and over and over again. And so I'm ready to move on. And it probably has something to do with the fact that the next one up is Thanksgiving. The next big celebration is Thanksgiving, and that happens to be my favorite holiday. It's like my wife always looks forward to Christmas this time of year. Right at Halloween, she's already thinking about Christmas. I'm thinking Thanksgiving because I really enjoy Thanksgiving, but this I thought was kind of interesting. Now that we are moving on from Halloween, already 55% of Americans are thinking about their holiday preparations. Actually, it's more than that. 55% were thinking about holiday prep back in September, according to a new survey. 56% start their gift shopping early for Christmas. We've talked about that before. This year, earlier than ever, people started shopping. And 47% say that they already feel overwhelmed. All right, technically, the holiday season isn't even here yet. We're just now starting to think about Thanksgiving, and already 47% say they feel overwhelmed. So if that is you, my apologies for being excited about the holiday season and all of that. By the way, time is running out for those who would like to vote early. For those who want to vote early in this year's presidential election, in-person voting in Ohio is open for extended hours today and for more limited hours tomorrow and Sunday. But if you don't cast your ballot by Sunday evening, you'll have to wait until the polls open on election day, Tuesday at 6:30 a.m., which will be an hour earlier than before, right? 6:30 will come an hour earlier because of the time change this weekend. So you not have to wait. I have to wait an hour less. Anyway, I'm just trying to squeeze that in here. Ohioans who are voting by mail, you will need to have your absentee ballots postmarked by Monday, but you cannot vote in person early on Monday. So make note of that. If you want to vote early and avoid the lines at the polling places on Tuesday, you need to get that done either today or over the weekend. By the way, speaking of the election season, and it's not just the holidays that are stressing people out. A new survey by Forbes Health, 61% say that they are already stressed out, and that stress, the election stress, is having a negative impact on their mental health. 61%, nearly two-thirds of Americans in this survey say that the election is stressing them out. About 20% say that they are headed to the gym to combat their anxiety. They work out. 20%. 10% head to the bar. They ask people how they cope with election stress. 20% say they work out. 10% say they head to the bar. All right. One or the other, I guess. Let's see here. 22% in the survey claim to be excited about the election. 22% are excited. I want to know who those people are. 12% are feeling relieved. I'll be relieved when it's all over. But even though the election might be over after Tuesday, its effects may linger longer. We're talking about the holiday season coming up. 44% in the Forbes Health Survey, 44% say the election results make them anxious about the upcoming holidays. So, yeah, could be some uncomfortable conversations. Thanksgiving and Christmas. Just prepare yourself. Whichever way the election goes, it doesn't really matter. You know that in an election as contentious as this, that is held so close to those holidays where we have large gatherings of people, that there will probably be some confrontations. Here's hoping that doesn't ruin your holidays. By the way, speaking of politics, this is something that has been a political lightning rod for several years now, and the city of Columbus is hopping on board, planning to launch a pilot program that will make direct cash payments to some lower-earning residents. The mayor of Columbus and the president of Columbus City Council announced an initial $2.5 million Economic Mobility Accelerator Program, yesterday. Through this initiative, 200 residents who have jobs, they are working, but they make less than the median income in Central Ohio, will get payments of $500 per month for the next 2 years. $500 a month for the next 2 years. The program meant to help individuals and families focus on their goals and improve their financial situation long term. Funding for the pilot program still needs to be approved by the full council, but they have announced $2.5 million, even though they technically don't have it yet. But I would imagine they wouldn't go public with this if they didn't think that council would approve, or maybe they were concerned council wouldn't approve, so they went public to pressure council to approve. Anyway, they announced it yesterday. We'll see how it goes. Pilot program. You know everybody's going to have an opinion on that. Yeah. Other Ohio news. By the way, did you hear about this? Big Lots has been sold. The Columbus-based retailer that has been struggling, they filed for bankruptcy back during the summer. And now the company they've been closing locations and all of this. So another struggling retailer. So Big Lots has been sold to Nexus Capital Management. They have a history of investing in companies that are viable but are struggling financially. So they have purchased Big Lots, and the selling price, $765 million. But compare that to $1.5 billion for other full-price retailers. You get that joke, right? I know. Leave it to me for go over the easy joke there. And a couple of other items here among the first things you need to know. The most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. So, this weekend, are you going to order takeout? Or go to a restaurant, you know. This very popular activity during the weekends. I know my wife and I would generally go out on the weekends instead of... it's our little treat for the weekend. We go out to eat. But how long are you willing to wait for your food to be delivered if you order delivery, or wait to be seated if you go to a sit-down restaurant? According to a new survey commissioned by Meals on Wheels, Americans start to lose their patience if their food is not delivered within 29 minutes of ordering. So that is the magic number. 29 minutes is the amount of time that the restaurant has to get you your food. And that's delivery. If you are going in to sit down... By the way, they theorize that 29 minutes is about the same amount of time that it would take someone to prepare a meal themselves. So if it's going to take longer, why bother? I'll just make a meal myself. And that's the thinking there. They also found that if you're going to a sit-down restaurant, 21% are willing to wait 21 minutes. That is the ideal wait time, or 21 minutes or less, the ideal wait time. After that, we start to get a little antsy. 21 minutes to be seated at a restaurant. And then, presumably, you've got about a half hour to bring me my food once I am seated. So, kind of interesting. 55% will hop into another line at the grocery store if more than three people are ahead of them. We are an impatient bunch. And 47% say they are willing to pay more for faster delivery when shopping online. Have you ever done that? Now, you need something quicker than standard delivery, maybe free, but you need something quicker. You just want it quicker, so you're willing to pay more. So 47% of us will do that. Interesting. And by the way, speaking of service at a restaurant, here's something to think about. And this is something that we have to consider in this age of automated servers. Some restaurants now are testing out automated robots that'll bring you your food. Do you need to tip them? One mom on TikTok has the internet all abuzz with that question. She said she placed her order at a restaurant. A robot brought her her meal, but her receipt still suggested leaving a tip. So this was apparently this is a restaurant where they don't have waitresses. You actually enter your own order in the little kiosk. The robot brings it to you. So you don't interface with any other humans, and yet they're still asking for a tip. She says, I have to admit, the food was quite tasty. It was a timely delivery. It was prepared correctly, but the suggested tip was like 20 to 30%. And so the question is, what would you tip, or would you tip if it's a robotic server? And a lot of people had some very strong opinions on that, but it does raise an interesting question. The more automated the systems become, the more computerized the systems become, does the need to tip then diminish? I would have to think so. I mean, I know that there are humans preparing the food. Maybe you're tipping them. I don't know. I don't know what they're paid. But you would think, if I'm not interacting with a human taking my order or delivering my order, do I really have to tip? I don't know. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-50s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-30s. New data shows a significant drop in overdose deaths in Ohio.
Overdose deaths in Ohio declined 9% in 2023, which is better than the national average, and a 14% drop from the peak in 2021. Governor DeWine says that trend seems to be continuing into this year.
What we see is that the progress that we have made in 2023 is continuing at about the same rate.
DeWine says the state focuses on three main areas to bring down overdose deaths: intervention, treatment, and enforcement.
ONN's Isabel Lawrence reporting. Hancock County officials say overdose deaths are down 60% over the past 3 years. Get more on that in the story on our website. The City of Findlay will be offering a bulk trash drop-off for Findlay residents from Saturday, November 2nd to Saturday, November 9th. Dumpsters will be located at the Public Works Department at 330 North Corey Street, where city residents may dispose of unwanted debris. The city points out that hazardous materials, commercial tires, concrete, appliances, and electronics will not be accepted. Proof of residency or ID may be required. Get more details on this bulk trash drop-off being offered by the City of Findlay for city residents in this story on our website. The Findlay High School ice hockey team is excited for the upcoming season. The team held a blue and gold inter-squad game at the Cube, and that's where we caught up with head coach Ben Patey and asked him how the team's looking so far.
That's a tough question to answer just based on we've only had a couple practices, but I think we'll definitely be strong up front, forward-wise, with a lot of guys returning and a lot of guys that can put the puck in the net. However, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we've got a lot of experience on our D-zone, our defensive players and our goaltending.
The team has some scrimmages scheduled ahead of their season opener Friday night, November 15th, against Newark at the Cube. Get more of our conversation with Coach Patey and the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Last time you truly had a good night's sleep. Statistics show that more than a third of adults are not getting enough rest. Science also tells us that the change of seasons, and specifically the upcoming time change, can exacerbate sleep issues. So, clinical neuroscientist Dr. Caroline Leaf is with us this morning with some advice. And I have a feeling that maybe this is an overly simplistic question with a very complex answer, but I'll ask it anyway. What causes people to struggle to fall asleep and stay asleep throughout the night? What's really going on here?
Well, it is a complex question, but there's actually a simple answer. And the most dominant reason why people battle to sleep is because of mind. Our mind going chaotic, going crazy, all those thoughts running through your mind in that constant revolving door kind of syndrome. And so if we don't manage our mind and all those thoughts, that messes with our brain, because your mind is not your brain. They're separate things and they work together. So mind controls brain and body. And whatever the mind does, the brain and body are going to follow suit. And that's great. It's good and bad. Bad news in that if your mind is messy, your brain is messy, your sleep is messy, your body is messy, and so on. If it's the good news is that, okay, well, if you manage your mind, then you can actually change that process. You can actually, through managing your mind, improve and heal your brain, improve and heal your sleep, the neurophysiology of your sleep cycle and your body, and therefore improve your sleep. So mind is paramount in good sleep.
So a simple answer that actually leads to another complex question. How in the world do we control our minds then and what we're thinking about it? This is what's causing it. Clearly, it can't be that easy to just, shut things off.
Oh, no, absolutely not. There's no quick fix, but there is a system, and that's how I've spent the last 40 years researching how we can manage these thoughts that drive us crazy. And we can learn to do this. It's a skill that we can develop. So I've looked at the concept of neuroplasticity, which is how the brain can be changed by the mind and how the body can be changed. And there's a five-step process that if you do a system that if you do this daily as a lifestyle activity, preferably starting in the morning, which will help your sleep, and you can then use it during the course of the day as needed, you are going to be in the driver's seat of the changes happening in your networks of your mind-brain-body connection. And what that means is that you're experiencing different things all day long from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. And that is being, your mind is how you experience something and your mind puts that in your brain. And so if we manage that process, we can then get more organization in the network, which then takes us into the time where by the time we go to bed, we're not as chaotic. If we are, we've at least got a system in place to help us. So I can quickly run through what the mind management system is, give you a bird's eye view of the concept.
Yeah, please do.
Sure, with pleasure. So it's a good way to try and find what thought is the dominant thing that's keeping us awake, because generally a thought's made of a lot of memories, and generally we have multiple thoughts that are keeping us awake, but there'll be one that tends to dominate, and the first thing when you wake up in the morning is what is that thing that's kind of like grabbed your attention, especially obviously in the toxic direction, and then you name that thought, sit down, give yourself 10 or 15 minutes. 2 minutes is 5 steps, 2 minutes per step. And you just start by gathering awareness. Step one, gathering awareness of, okay, what is this thought? How does it make me feel? Where do I feel this in my body? And how is it affecting my perspective and my behavior? That's the first step. Just 4 simple questions, 4 simple answers. You're not solving it all immediately. And that comes to the time thing, which I'll explain in a minute. Step two, you then ask yourself why. You reflect, it's called reflect. Why am I having this? Why am I experiencing this? Which will bring up more information. Step three is called a mind storm, where you just literally let your mind flow, let it storm. What the first 2 steps have generated is that it's going to activate a whole lot of things from the unconscious related to this issue, and it's generally contributing to our sleep issues. And so you just grab all of that, even if it seems unrelated. Those three steps bring that network into the conscious mind, changing its status. In other words, it becomes vulnerable, which means you can change it, which is good news. Mm-hmm. Step four, step five, move into sort of an action step where you say, okay, this is what's happened. This is all this chaos. This is all these things. What can I do about this now in this moment to get me through the day? Can't solve moments are built in a day. So it's basically what can I do now? And 2 minutes, 1 to 2 minutes per step. So you can see it's not a lot of stuff you do. You're not going to solve it all in one day. And then you create an action. Step five is a little action that you can do to get you through the day. And then you do this. It's going to take at least 63 days, which is around 9 weeks, to rewire the network that thought that's been keeping you awake, or that's been part of a cluster of thoughts keeping you awake. So the idea is to do this daily for at least 63 days, and then you can use that quickly during the course of the day as you, the same five steps as you need. And then at night when you go, if you're back into sleep, you can use this. It brings order out of chaos.
I really thought what's interesting about this, and again, just to underscore what you were saying earlier, that again, if you want to address the issue of getting a good night's sleep, it really starts in the morning and continues throughout the day.
Exactly. And that's the mistake. People think I can go through the day chaotically and then think, okay, I'll get into bed and I'll, you know, get rid of the cell phone, do this,
yeah.
All these rules. Yeah. And it's not that, you know, it's not that they're wrong. It's just that they don't all apply as a blanket solution. Because I fall asleep with my phone. So blue light has been shown not to really, not to affect everyone. So there's no one hard and fast rule. You've got to find your unique pattern. And you can't find your unique pattern and rhythm of sleep until you've actually started learning how to manage your mind. And then the two start working in parallel. And during the days when we start this in the morning.
So let me ask you this, because again, you know, you're talking about a process that will take several weeks to fully, kind of reprogram your brain and overcome a lot of these issues that are keeping us chronically from getting a good night's sleep. In the more immediate short term, are there things that we can do to improve the quality of our sleep?
Absolutely. So it's mind and mattress. If you think of it, your mind never stops, ever. It's always going 24/7. And you sleep for hours on a mattress. So what we sleep on really plays a massive role. There's so much research showing how what we sleep on is going to play a massive role. And once again, it's unique. That's why there's different types of mattresses. And this is why I love the Serta.com Beautyrest and Tufts and Needle, because they're different types of mattresses that you can find what you need. So, for example, if you're looking for comfort and cooling, the Serta Sleeper X is a great for supporting your body, because it's got a full five-body alignment zone, so it puts your body in full alignment. If you move a lot or your partner moves a lot, then Beautyrest is great because it's got this T3 technology that actually helps to absorb the motion and the energy and transfer that and stop the transfer so that you don't get woken up by your partner, or if you move a lot, the bed won't move, the mattress won't move as much. That's really important as well. But we've all got different needs. And then maybe if you've got pressure points and you want pressure relief, or you want really superior comfort, or you want superior cooling, then Tufts and Needles adaptive foam mattress is amazing. So it's different types. You've got to find your unique way, your unique comfort, because those hours on that mattress are really important to helping you sleep.
Again, clinical neuroscientist Dr. Caroline Leaf with us talking about the sleep issues that so many Americans deal with and what the real solutions are. Where do we get more information about all of this?
You can go to Serta.com, Beautyrest.com, and TuftsandNeedle.com.
Dr. Leaf, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Hope it helps.
A couple of things coming up involving local veterans that we want to highlight this morning. The first involving veterans specifically, and the second involving all of us. Nicole Coleman is with us, director of the Hancock County Veterans Service Office. And the first event is the Fall Veterans Empowerment Fair, which is coming up tomorrow. This is something you do seasonally. Tell us what's happening here.
Yeah, so we are kind of going back to the basics of our Veteran Empowerment Fair, which means really the focus is getting lots of community and state resources there for veterans. Some of them are veteran specific and some of them are just resources that are available for anyone in the community. And those agencies or organizations want to make sure that veterans are also aware of those services.
Such as what? I mean, kind of give us a run. I probably can't hit them all, but just as an example.
Yeah, so usually the Red Cross will be there,
okay.
Which is an opportunity for you to volunteer and or to learn about the services that they have that are specific for veterans. We usually have two or three different local counseling services. So if you're looking for counseling and don't want to use the VA, you'll find some of those local resources.
All right.
The Financial Opportunity Center from Habitat for Humanity is normally there.
Mm.
And if you are not aware of their services, it is an incredible way to learn more about managing your money. And this is for, I think sometimes people think this is just for people who are low income or moderate income. This is for anyone at any level of income who
right.
is wanting to learn more about how to make the most of their money and to feel good about their financial wellness.
Yeah.
So that's another great resource. And then we typically have the Vet Center there, which is a part of the VA. They provide counseling services for a good majority of veterans. This is people who have survived military sexual trauma, as well as anyone who has deployed. And so you don't have to be in the VA healthcare system in order to have access to those counseling services. And it is the one place where veteran spouses can participate in and get counseling services as well.
Very good. So some tremendous resources for veterans and their families. And as you mentioned, really for anyone in the community for a lot of these things as well. And that is
right.
happening from 10 to 2 at Owens, right?
Correct. And the other resource that I want to make sure I don't forget to mention is our staff. So our staff will all be there. And so if you are someone, you know, who works Monday through Friday and you think you can't get into our office, this is a great way to come and find out what might you be eligible for, to get some one-on-one conversation, just to learn more about what would be the benefit of you scheduling an appointment to come in and see someone in our office and get some of those basic benefits just understood,
yeah.
I think is the key.
Yeah. And then the second event that we want to highlight is actually coming up next week and running right up through and until Veterans Day itself, which is right around the corner. And that is Operation Green Light. Explain what this is and how folks can participate.
Yeah. So this is really exciting, extra exciting for me because I got to be a part of the national rollout of this program. So it began in New York, I think 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus was in New York, their thought was, let's light up our government buildings around the state, around the counties, green, and then use that as an opportunity to let veterans know we see them, we value them, they're not forgotten, and that we have state and county employees whose job it is to help them connect with any resources and benefits they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it went amazingly well. And so then NACO, which is the National Association of Counties, and NACVSO, which is the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, said, can we take that idea and take it national? And so, you know, we believe that the VA is going to be participating in some ways, maybe even the White House. I know that the city of Findlay and Hancock County is participating. They are looking at I know all of the lights that are on the trees in downtown Findlay are going to be lit green.
Awesome.
And Lowe's has a lot of different styles of green light bulbs right now. So,
and that's,
this is from November 4th through November 11th. And this is something that businesses, individual community members, and government buildings. And what we're asking is light something green, because we want to make sure that veterans know they aren't forgotten. We appreciate them. And there is a Hancock County Veterans Service Office that is here to answer any questions you have about your time in service and any benefits you might be entitled to now.
And as we mentioned, that is all next week, leading up to Veterans Day itself. And talk about the significance of that. Again, we often talk about Veterans Day and thanking veterans and so on. And we do it almost as a matter of routine. It's on the calendar. As a veteran yourself, and you know, for those who have served, describe the significance of that recognition.
Well, I think it just reminds us of, for a lot of us, it was a small moment in our life, but it often defines who we are. And it's nice to know that the people in our community remember and appreciate the sacrifices we made during that time. You know, we missed our kids' birthdays, our, you know, our siblings' graduations, our spouse's birthday. You know, there's just there's a lot of things that were sacrificed. And for most of us, we did it out of a sense of obligation, and we were very proud of what we were doing and why we were doing it.
A simple thing that we can do that really speaks volumes.
Exactly. Yes, it is greatly appreciated by veterans when they see those green light bulbs, just as I'm sure it is for law enforcement when they see the blue light
bulbs. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Again, Nicole Coleman is with us, Hancock County Veterans Service Office. The Veterans Empowerment Fair is coming up tomorrow at Owens from 10 to 2. A lot of resources. You've got lunch. You've got entertainment. It's going to be a really good time for all. And then, as we mentioned, Operation Greenlight is coming up next week. And for those who want to learn more, they can head to your website, right?
Absolutely. HancockVeterans.com.
Very good. We will link that up on our webpage as well. Nicole, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Your Friday night football forecast, 51 degrees at kickoff tonight, down into the upper 40s by halftime, and mid-40s by the end of the game. As the second season gets underway, the Trojans will make the long drive to suburban Cleveland for their first-round playoff game against perennial powerhouse Lakewood St. Edward. On the Coach's Corner this week, John Marshall spoke with Findlay head coach Stephan Adams.
Let's take a moment to bask in that last game of the regular season. Absolutely. You went to Northview. You got things started with a bang. Carter Imke returned the opening kick for a touchdown. That certainly set the stage for a good night for your Trojans.
Yeah, no, that was a good moment, because it was one of those moments where, you know, you take what you saw on film and you put it in action as far as your plan of attack, right? Like, I told our guys up front, we kind of worked on our drops all weekend long and getting to your spots. And I said, hey, if the ball comes here and we can get on this outside number one guy real quick, I think we can hit a homer. And when it comes into fruition, I mean, you kind of look like a genius, you know. And the kids look at you like, yeah, we said it this week. You said it about film. And it worked out really well. So a great way to start the game, and was pretty happy with our execution and the way that we played the game of football that night.
Landon Eckleberry had a good night. Two touchdown passes, one on the ground. Very efficient, 11 of 16 for 150 yards, no interceptions. That is the type of game you hope for as he continues to improve each week. Then you throw in Riley Korkos getting some reps in the second half. A good night overall for your quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I was pretty happy with their execution. I think the staff did a really good job of trying to creating a game plan to make things as simple as possible for them, so that way they can go out and just play fast. The guys executed very well, and it's what we talked about. So, I mean, big hats off to the coaching staff, big hats off to Landon for how clean he was that night. And, I mean, I think the biggest props needs to go to Riley. Riley's been right. He's been one of the greatest teammates you can ask for, a great teammate that you want your whole program to really embody and be like.
A very good game by your defense, very sound, allowing just 100 total yards, a really nice showing.
Yeah, no, wanted to see those guys attack, be alignment sound, be where they're supposed to be, and then when they're in the right spots to make plays. What I think I liked even more personally was we were able to generate some sacks that game, where we haven't really generated a bunch of sacks throughout the course of the season. You know, and one thing that you know you're going to need at some point in time in any game, and in a playoff game for sure, is can you get home? Can you get to the quarterback in passing situations? And then can you finish when you're there?
The second season starts Friday night. How long that season goes is all about how your team performs.
Yeah.
This week you are off to suburban Cleveland to meet St. Edward. They come to the first round of the playoffs with a 5-5 record off two straight losses, but they are a very good team. What do you expect from them when you go visit their place?
You know, we expect a championship program, championship pedigree, obviously guys who've been in state championship games, kids who've maybe not played in it but been a part of it all. They've seen it. They know what it takes. You know, this time of the year, this truly is a new season for them. So, you know, we expect a very physical team on offense that's going to be lean on their run game. We expect a defense that's going to be able to fly around, be fast, physical, they're strong. And then they got some game breakers in special teams games as well, too. So it's a championship program. It's a championship team. We know what they're about. We respect that. We don't fear them, but we respect all that they've accomplished. And we're excited to go compete against the best. I mean, that's what this is all about. You're going to have to play them at some point in time to win a championship anyway, right?
Right.
So our guys, I know our seniors who have played a lot of football, are super excited. And, you know, one play at a time. You know, you got to play every rep like it's your last rep. You know, every snap as if you're the last one. And, you know, give it everything you got. Leave nothing out there. And we've hit heavy on that this past couple weeks.
How is practice going?
Practice is going really well. I think, once again, we feel good about the game plan that we've put in place. And, you know, obviously we have to be able to go out there and execute. I think our coach has done a good job. I think our players have been bouncy. I think they've been excited about being out there. They kind of know what the opportunity means. So I'd say so far it's been good, and excited to go and finish very, very clean.
Again, John Marshall with Findlay head coach Stephen Adams on the Coach's Corner earlier this week. Going to be a long travel day for the Trojans, getting to Lakewood and getting ready for tonight's game. Really going to be a tough one to open the playoffs. But here's wishing the Trojans the best of luck. Our coverage begins with tonight in high school football at 6:10 this evening right here on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. Other action in high school football playoffs week number one around the area on our family of stations. Over on 100.5 WKXA tonight and at WKXA.com, we've got the Fairview-Liberty-Benton game. Eagles hosting the Warriors this evening in that one. And it is Ottawa-Glandorf traveling to Galleon to open the playoffs on 106.3 The Fox and 106.3TheFox.com. You can follow all of those games and all of the rest of the area action, all of the area teams who are advancing into the playoffs. There are a lot of great matchups on the schedule tonight, and we'll have continuous updates throughout the evening at the WFIN scoreboard page, powered by ScoreStream and presented by Owens Community College. Go to WFIN.com/scoreboard. We also have a link at our webpage at goodmornings.net.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Here's something that you will want to know if you ever hit it big in the lottery. This is important stuff to know. I mean, you know, when you get a scratch-off ticket and you win like $20, you just take it back to where you bought the ticket and they give you the $20 and it's really simple. But when you win big, I mean, when we're talking millions, multi-millions of dollars in the Mega Millions or the Powerball jackpot or whatever, it doesn't happen that way. One Powerball winner in California says he has been waiting since August to receive his $44 million prize. Jerry is his name. Just have the first name. Jerry claims to have hit all six numbers back during the drawing on August 19th. And he says, what they won't tell you is by what date you will get the funds. They won't tell you that. They leave it open-ended So you're sitting just waiting daily, Jerry said. While the big winner in the August 19th drawing is frustrated that he has not yet received his $44 million prize, lottery officials say payouts are usually made 6 to 8 weeks after they are claimed, but it could take, in some cases, much longer. And this is important because if you win the lottery, you might want to wait a while before telling the boss to shove it, you know? I get the feeling that's what Jerry is waiting for. He really wants to tell his boss to shove it, but he doesn't have his money yet, so he can't quit his job and live off of his winnings quite yet. So hurry up! Elsewhere in the broken news, did you hear about this story? And this was making headlines yesterday. Authorities say a man is now facing felony charges after repeatedly punching a sleeping passenger on a United Airlines flight. This is a crazy story. It happened about 2 hours after the flight took off from San Francisco International Airport on Monday. So 2 hours into the flight, Everett Chad Nelson was returning to his seat when he started to punch a passenger in the face and the head. The attack lasted for a full minute before another passenger jumped in to help. Which I'm thinking to myself, why did it take you a minute? That's a long time for someone to be assaulting someone else on the plane before someone jumps in to help. A full minute. Anyway, witnesses say that there was blood everywhere, but the assaulter was detained and arrested after the flight landed. I don't know. I believe it was diverted. I don't know where it landed. Don't know all of those particulars. I don't know about the condition of the passenger, but the FBI and the FAA are investigating. Just, wow, crazy. Take your boxing gloves along with you next time on your flight, apparently. Wow. Let's see. Boy, I hate when this happens. You know, you're trying to unsuccessfully light your fire pit. I mean, this is the time of the year. I know it's been kind of warm, but, you know, temperatures starting to turn. We're going to get into those autumn-like temperatures. Good evening to put a fire in the fire pit and enjoy, you know, sitting on the deck, in the backyard by the fire. But have you ever had this happen where you couldn't get it lighted? Happened to a Connecticut man. He couldn't get his fire pit to light, so he left to go to the store to get more matches. He ran out of matches. But when he came back, he discovered the fire pit did actually catch, and it had caused a 50-acre brush fire while he was gone. It did actually light, and 50-acre brush fire when he got back. He has now been charged with reckless burning for leaving the fire unattended. In his defense, he didn't think it had lit. He needed to get more matches. He comes back to find a raging brush fire. The blaze, it says here, took out an approximately 40-foot section of a vinyl fence along with a neighbor's lawn. Man was taken into custody and released on $10,000 bail. He is scheduled to appear in court here in a couple of weeks. Oops! That's a big oops right there. That's bad. And a couple of Halloween-related stories. Put the postscript on Halloween. Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. In this case, out of the Cleveland area, a teenager is facing charges in connection with an incident at a local haunted house in Berea. Back on October 19th, scare actors at the Joe Boo Evil Events Evil Unleashed attraction in Berea reported that a 17-year-old boy threatened them with a knife. They were just actors in the haunted house experience. He had a real knife. Police arrived and took the teenager into custody. He told officers he did not plan to hurt anyone. He just got scared. I got news for you. That's kind of the point. That's It's the point of the haunted house. You're going to get scared. Maybe, just maybe, I'll throw this out here. If you are worried about getting scared, don't take a knife to a haunted house. Just don't go to the haunted house. Just don't go to the event. No injuries were reported in the incident. Maybe just skip the haunted house next time. Just skip it. And finally, in the broken news this morning, speaking of Halloween, now that Halloween is over, revelers in New York can get rid of their post-Halloween jack-o'-lanterns at the Hudson River Park annual pumpkin smash this weekend. I think this is awesome. This is awesome. Says here, residents can bring their old pumpkins to Pier 84 on Saturday, tomorrow, between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., and they will be provided the choice of a bat, hammer, or shovel to... And folks, they'll give you a bat, hammer, or shovel, your choice, and you will have 15 minutes to break up your pumpkins. Smash your pumpkins. The city says the pieces will be composted and turned into fertilizer to help keep the park beautiful there at Hudson River Park. Keep the park beautiful, green, and growing. Afterwards, the Hudson River Park team will offer a presentation on how composting works. So I think that's awesome. After Halloween is over, you can take out all of your frustrations with the election right around the corner and smash up those pumpkins. It's a great idea. You should try that. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, a collection of the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When the rumors are flying, getting the facts matters more than ever. At WFIN, we're your trusted source and will always present the story only after verifying the information with trusted sources. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Trust in us to present just the facts when covering events impacting Findlay and Hancock County. You can depend on us to get the story right every time on social media, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and at 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. And research out of Oregon State University has discovered that 96% of Americans are not getting enough vitamin D. 96% of Americans not getting enough vitamin D. Now, this is important for bone health and the immune system. And obviously, as we come up on cold and flu season, we don't want a lack of vitamin D, making our immune system vulnerable to sickness. But here's the kicker. Vitamin D is acquired through sunlight. And obviously, there is much less of that this time of year. And we are, again, this weekend, shifting an hour of sunlight from the evening back to the morning before most of us get outdoors. So it becomes more of a challenge to get enough sunlight to maintain our vitamin D levels. And then, as it turns out, we're also not doing ourselves any favors either. A separate study from Clemson University and UCLA finds that Americans spend less time outdoors compared to the amount of time we spent outdoors before the pandemic. Talk about one of the lasting negative effects of the pandemic. Between 2019 and 2021, Americans went outside 1 hour less per day. We went from 5.5 hours to 4.5 hours. And there are no signs that this reduction in outdoor time is reversing. It appears that this is one of those shifts that did extend past the pandemic. Researchers analyzed data from 34,000 Americans, which included in-home activities along with out-of-home activities like shopping and sports. And while Americans, they say, began staying home more often back in 2023, before COVID and has continued into 2023, COVID-19 seemed to accelerate the trend. That's the point that they are making, that we were already spending less time out of doors, and then COVID came along and kept us indoors, and we have kind of adjusted to that indoor lifestyle. The point being, we should get out of that and we should reverse that trend, get outdoors more. Once again, my wife Kyra has joined us in the studio to wrap up the week with another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. More yummy recipes, kind of seasonal recipes.
Yeah.
Good stick to your ribs kind of kind of stuff here.
And use them for tailgating.
Yeah, since we're getting into the end of high school football playoff season and all of that.
Yep.
Maybe good for your tailgate fun.
Yes.
Whatever it is that you have. Buckeyes with a big game this weekend, too. So maybe you're going to have a gathering of friends.
That's all right. Enjoy.
Could use,
try these.
You could try these recipes.
One or two.
Perfect
or
for that.
None or whatever.
So we start with the bacon and cheese muffins.
Yes.
Everything is better with bacon, even muffins.
So this is one package of Hawaiian sweet rolls, a half a cup of butter melted, one tablespoon of Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning, three tablespoons of chopped green onions, 9 to 10 slices of cooked bacon crumbled, 2 cups of mozzarella cheese shredded, 2 cups of cheddar cheese shredded, and your ranch dressing, which is an option for your dipping. Dipping it afterwards. So cut your rolls into small cubes. In a large bowl, combine your cubed rolls, your mozzarella cheese, your cheddar cheese, and your bacon. Then mix in your ranch butter, which is one stick, the melted butter, and 1 tablespoon of Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning. So that's the powder.
Okay.
So you want to use the powder.
Right.
And your green onions. So use, then you're going to mix all that together and then use a large cookie scoop or I use my cupcake scoop.
Okay.
Because you're going to make a large round ball, mm-hmm. Kind of with your hands, shape it together and then put that into your cupcake tins.
Your muffin pans.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay.
So you're going to put those in there and then bake at 350 for about 20 minutes. Let them cool a little bit. Take them out of the muffin tin and enjoy.
Yeah,
and
you'll have the rest of the ranch seasoning.
Yep,
or you can, your ranch dressing.
Yep, you can dip it in there.
By the way, that ranch butter, just that part, that would be something to kind of have on hand.
Yeah,
you can even make
extra of that dip your muffins, your bacon cheese muffins into that some more of that, or drizzle it on or brush it on afterwards.
Or you might just have that,
or
keep that part of the recipe handy for future reference for anything else. You know, ranch butter might be handy.
Yeah.
Some melted butter, a little bit of Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning.
And green onions,
you're good.
Yes.
Let's see here. So the bacon and cheese muffins, we'll also have a recipe for pretzel dip.
Yes. So this is 4 ounce cream cheese softened, 1/3 cup of a heavy whipping cream, 1/3 cup of mayo, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 teaspoon of hot sauce, 1/2 teaspoon of horseradish, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic minced, 3 bacon sliced.
More bacon.
Sliced, cooked, and crumbled. 1 1/2 cups of extra sharp cheddar cheese shredded and 1/3 cup green onions chopped. So in a medium-sized bowl, add your cream cheese, your heavy whipped cream, your mayonnaise, and your Worcestershire sauce, hot sauce, horseradish, and garlic, and stir that until it's combined. Then add your bacon and cheese. Now you're going to fold in your bacon and cheese. So if you like, use your mixer, your electric mixer for the first part. Don't use that for the second part because that'll break up your cheese and your green onions. So then stir that to combine. Place in a serving dish. Refrigerate for several hours or overnight before serving with your favorite pretzels.
Mm. So
pretzels or
traditional pretzels or soft pretzels.
Yes, or crackers or any of that type
of
stuff.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
You can have multiple different things on your, do like a little charcuterie board and have all kinds of different fun stuff around it.
Great dip there for your pretzels or whatever. And then also have a recipe for caramel cereal mix.
Yes.
You just made some of this the other day.
Yep. So this is 7 cups of Crispix cereal, 6 cups of Honeycomb cereal, or if you have a favorite cereal and you've got it there at the house, you can use that too.
Okay.
So 1 cup of butter, 2 cups of brown sugar, 1/4 cup of light corn syrup, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda. So grease a large baking sheet or line it with parchment paper. Melt butter in a large saucepan. Add your brown sugar. Let that come to a boil, stirring occasionally while it's coming to a boil. Then stir in your vanilla extract and your corn syrup. Bring that to a boil and continue to stir for about 4 minutes. It's going to kind of look like it's a little getting foamy. That 4 minute point, it should. So then after that, then mix in your baking soda, and then the mixture is going to bubble up. So be prepared.
Don't be surprised.
Okay. It's just going to kind of bubble up and get really, it's going to look like a big, I don't know.
Big foamy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks like it has a head on it.
Like
root beer.
So then continue to stir. Add the cereal to the caramel mixture and gently toss until all the cereal is coated. Transfer the caramel coated cereal mix to your prepared baking sheet. Spread it out into an even layer. You're going to want to let it cool a little bit or use your rubber spatula to kind of spread it out.
Okay.
Then once it cools completely, you can break it apart even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then store it in an airtight container and then enjoy.
So this is kind of similar to like a caramel corn
recipe.
Yeah,
caramel corn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But with cereal instead of popcorn. Although you could use popcorn, if you wanted to.
Yes.
But this is the same kind of idea here on that. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Some great treats there for your tailgate or whatever for...
Or just to enjoy a movie night or whatever. Sure. Just simple foods. Yes.
Finger foods. That's what I was looking for. Bacon cheese muffins, the pretzel dip, and the caramel cereal mix recipes are all on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, correct?
Yep.
At Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook is where you find those. We also have it linked up at goodmornings.net. And as we have said before, and we'll say it again, if you have a favorite recipe that you would like to share, you can send it to Kyra via the Facebook page, or you can email us goodmornings@wfin.com. Good mornings, all one word with an S. goodmornings@wfin.com. Similar thing if you are looking for a recipe. If there's something that you are looking for, we've got the holiday season coming up. Yes. If there's something that you've always wanted to do, but you don't have a recipe for, we'll get Kyra on the case.
Yes.
Just let us know.
Yes, and the next big one is Thanksgiving with all the yummy food.
Yeah, absolutely.
so
we'll get Kyra on the case there. Again, on the Facebook page or email us for that at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the program at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up Monday on the show, our conversation with Congressman Bob Latta as the 2024 election cycle draws to a close amid fears on both sides over what the results could mean for the country moving forward. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. Don't forget the time change. We'll catch you back here next week.